what we're in the midst of doing is getting ready to pray and go over some of the things we want to be in prayer about. Steve Ferrari, he has did real well in his recovery operation. He appreciates the prayers. Let's go through our prayer list here before I hit some other things. Pat Bass is recovering from her neck surgery. Just trying to pick out things that have come up. Please continue to be in prayer for Hazel Reyes, Romeo's wife. Bless her heart. She's still having trouble and still will not go to the doctor.
What's
headaches and... I'm sorry? She has epilepsy, and that compounds everything. And she doesn't know what all the problem is and has not been to the doctor. So we need to be in prayer for them.
Go to the doctor, or does she not have insurance?
It's the insurance thing, and I'm talking with her now about just going ahead and let's see what we can do. Because she needs to a woman just needs to.
Because it could be a medicine.
Yeah, it could be a medicine. It could be something. I told her, I said, you know, it could be something very simple, and it'd be happy, great to know. And I said, if it's something serious, then, you know, we need to know that too. But generally, men are like the ones that don't want to go to the doctor for that reason. But so we need to be in prayer. Please continue to be in prayer for Jeff and Debbie Langston and their daughter Christy. Please be in prayer for our West Tuttle and the Tuttle family. They need our prayers. Let's see, before I go to following up on Amsterdam, how's your mom?
I think she's doing okay.
You still need a prayer, though, in regard to, you know?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I requested, let's see. Yeah, my mother's name is still here, Fern Tenney. Please be in prayer. Yesterday, today, she's just doing really poor as far as her. It's all those kind of things. It's not so much mom directly as it is her sister who is dying and probably very close to dying, brought home to be with the Lord. But it causes great agony and pain to my mother, and it takes her down. And so, and I do understand, loving the sister and all. And she's just doing, my mom's doing very poorly, so please be in prayer for her. There was a lady living with her, and that lady has had to move out. So now we're back to looking for that, so please be in prayer in that respect. I solicit your prayers. Anybody else have anything that we need to be in prayer as far as families and all? Here?
I have Lisa here with Dr. Kelly.
Okay, good. Yes. Have you heard any update?
We're
going to
try to give him a call here in
the
next 2 days and see.
Okay.
He doesn't have another chemo treatment for a few more weeks, so it's still probably.
Okay, please do be in prayer for Rita Kelly and his cancer. Be in prayer for him. Be in prayer for his family, and so please do be in prayer in that respect. Anybody else have anything that we need to you want to bring up and be in prayer concerning? I'm going to go through these things for the tapers as well as for us in prayer. There's so many things now. Things are starting to. Slowly, but now they're starting to kind of take off in regard to what our outreach may or may not be. And I kind of picked up some of these that Carol has been sending me and talking with. First of all, this one is from Namibia. It says, "Greetings. I want to give thanks to our Almighty Creator for helping you to publish the book, The Gospel for Christians. The book has changed my life, and I will follow him now in that manner. My dream is that this book must also be translated into my language," which he puts in quotes here, L-O-Z-I, end quote, "the one spoken in the northeastern region of Namibia. I will be happy if you will allow me to translate the book. I will be happy if you will accept my request and let me do this for you. Yours in Christ, His name is Shazai, S-H-S-H-A-Z-I, Beneti, B-E-N-N-E-T-Y, Matengu, M-A-T-E-N-G-U. And so we're getting more a lot of requests in response to the book. Okay, that's one that she sent me that's working right now. I'm just reading things that are I have a whole stack of them that she sent me, but these are things that I would like you to be in prayer. So getting that book translated. I mean, when somebody says this book has changed my life, that's powerful. And so, and he wants to do the translation and all. You have to be very careful. Ian and I were talking today. You have to be very careful with these people because a lot of these countries and these people have learned they're very artistic on how to beg and how to con you out of a lot of money for seemingly good things. He said, you know, like one thing they'll do is they'll request, you know, like maybe 100 tapes on something if you got it, or maybe music or a Bible or whatever. They take off your label and then they sell them, and each one they sell in these countries is a week's wage they can get for one tape. And so, you know, sure, they write one of the tapes, you know, if whatever if people will send them like that, they can be used to something else, and then they go sell it. You get, oh, send us a tape machine, send us this, send us that, and they go sell them. And, you know, you get enough of that, like Ian said, you know, they can get enough of certain things and retire in their country if they get enough of it. So, he said, you know, he said, I don't want to question every request, but you do want to be careful if they were asking for, you know, something that seems a little. And I told him about some of our requests, and he said, well, if they're just asking for like that, probably not. Because, you know, you usually tell they want to just ask 100 of these because they really flow the market. But he says the book has changed his life and doesn't ask for money. He just wants permission to translate it. Here's one. Let's see. Okay. All right, this is from Carol about things going on that she's worked with. We were blessed with Jim Williams. Now, Jim Williams, is he still on here? Let's see, down at the bottom. We had Jim Williams down here that we were in prayer for.
Under Ian and Carol?
Oh, yeah, okay. Under Ian and Carol and Jim Williams. Now, Jim Williams, he is the vice president of the Lewis Palua Evangelistic Association. He's kind of like what we would consider the Billy Graham in Central and South America. And Mike Besford, the exhibit manager at Amsterdam 2000, is in sending for a recommendation to the exhibit director of the Urbana 2000. Now, Urbana 2000 is the thing I mentioned to you Sunday where there's going to be 20,000 college kids in Illinois, in Champaign, Illinois. December 26th through January 1, and it looks like we may get a booth this late if we want one. 20,000 students are going to be there. Let's see, which is twice as many as we contacted in Amsterdam, and these will all be American, from America, going there from all kinds of denominations. Let's see, in Champaign, Illinois, this is held every 3 years. And from 19 to 20,000 college students interested in missions will attend. This will be a wonderful opportunity to present the gospel for Christians to these young Christians, which many will follow through with missionary service worldwide. That's what Carol. I appreciate Carol a lot. She sees what God can do. It's not always what God is doing. You know, she's the kind I can see. Now, this is not what she's doing. I'm making a humorous point. She's the kind, well, I could see God letting me win the lottery, so I'm going to go buy a whole bunch of things and let God do it. She functions on what she says God can do. And Ian and I kind of stand back, and it sounds like we have weak faith, but we stand and say, yeah, but let's don't deal on what God can do. We know He can do all things, and da 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 da. But let's deal a little bit on what God is doing. And so Ian has to deal with it every day. I just every now and then that's what she calls. I say, wait a minute, girl, wait a minute, let's deal. Let's see, this one, like I said, I'm just reading a few of them, from Carol. Hi, for your information and prayers, although I don't even ask people to pray for something anymore. I believe the Holy Spirit is very capable of bringing to one's mind something he wants them to pray about. I don't have to talk to her a little bit. There's nothing wrong in letting people know requests. Paul makes it very clear. Anyway, just got off the phone for speaking with Roy Cruz, director of the International Ministries of this and going on in Champaign. He is director of the International Schools of Evangelism also. We have worked together for years. He is presenting his final budget for 2001, the end of October. He is interested in using the gospel for Christians. This man was referred to in this book with one of the statements. The opening would facilitate, if he uses the book in the international ministries, this would open, she says, this would, here again, she sees the out there, it would facilitate the spread of this message even further. We are expecting great things from the Lord in spreading the simple but valuable message that he has given to us. So that's another thing to be in prayer about. Oh, I forgot to tell you, now this email, this is the same day, was about Roy Cruz. I forgot to tell you, Roy Cruz International Ministries, School Evangelism, wanted to know if we were going to continue with a basics book. Now, I told you Sunday that Ian and I were thinking about maybe working on a basics book, get this thing out. The demand is unbelievable out there. I'm just amazed at the demand for a basics book. I told him that we were somewhat in the process of writing a new one. It would have to be ready by the first of 2001 to avoid missing the opportunities with them for that year. Also, we're getting letters from Africa that contain many questions, so I'm trying to get a list of various questions that they have so that if we go there, we'll be able to answer their questions. That's something else for your prayers. What I'm doing here for you, with you, is I just give little tidbits up there. I want you to kind of feel the things that I should have been doing this all along, but it Carol's been sending. So, dear Pastor John, this is from Carol to Pastor John O'Dorio. Thank you for your email. We are currently planning a conference with Reverend Charles Arundu in Nakuru, Kenya. Now, this conference is being planned, and we are planning to see if once it's been confirmed everything, then we'll deal with it. But for your prayer and understanding, December 5th through the 10th of this year, they are expecting 4,000 to attend. We will be sending a team to teach and proclaim the gospel for Christians. We will be taking 4,000 plus copies of the book for the participants. We had approximately 74 people from Kenya who responded to our ministry from Amsterdam 2000. Would you like to participate in the conference in Nakuru in December, or is that too far for you to travel? I don't know if I brought it, but he emailed back and said yes, it was too far for he and the pastors to travel. He'd like to have his own conference. Would this be too far for you to travel? Let's see. Would you like to participate in this conference in December in Nakuru, or is that too far to travel? Would it be better to hold a conference in Nairobi prior to or after the conference in Nakuru? Please advise us if you want to contact us and let us know what to do, and if you want to contact the pastor there. So she's dealing with that one. So that's in Kenya. And we got two very important ones looking like they were going to become a reality in Kenya. Okay, this one is from Carol. A little update. This is to follow up on the previous email that I forwarded to you already. I will email him back. Oh, okay. I will mail him back. I will check from this end about travel from Nairobi, where the pastor would be had to travel. And she talks about the dates here. I'm going to read this because I want you to appreciate, you know, the English and the writing. This is from the man in Kenya. He says, this is Pastor John O. Odierio, O-D-I-E-R-O, in Nairobi, Kenya. Receive Calvary greetings in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your quick reply. May our Lord Jesus bless you. Your ministry is very important to us. I came across your wonderful book. It was somebody else's that went to Amsterdam 2000, but I read it, and it is the most powerful words on how to live a Christian life. I was suggesting to have with you a seminar in Nairobi, the conference that Carol started out, in Nairobi, so that there will not be a chance for the people to attend. What he's saying is that he would have to have his own because they're not going to be able to attend the other conference, so there would have to be two different ones. You can organize to speak the congregation. Let's say pray over it and let the Holy Spirit direct you in what to do. That's his response. And here's, let's see, this one is again from Carol. This is kind of interesting. We are still waiting to hear from confirmation from Kenya at the present, and this is the 19th, it's today. Okay, so I got this today. We are still, but I appreciate that. You knew that was a question, and it did. And you said, yeah, that was very good. Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, because it was a question. We are still waiting to hear a confirmation from Kenya. At the present, there is a possibility of two conferences, one right after Thanksgiving in Nairobi, then in Nakuru following that one. We finally heard from Haiti on their crusade in November. We have talked to them by email, and then we are dealing with another group in India of over 859 churches about a conference, and are waiting to hear from them as they review the book and our material and your tapes. And so we'll hear from them. Herman received a phone call from Ghana, and they want a conference right away. There is no date. They're waiting for us to set the date. We were asked to send a copy of the Gospel for Christians to the woman in charge of the exhibition for the 2000 in December. It's called Urbana in Champaign, Illinois, and then she's going to read it and get back. What an opportunity to affect these young people. We are waiting to hear from the Haitian pastor in Miami. We met him. I met with him to talk. That's the Miami one. This is kind of just something to let you know, something personal. From a personal note, last Friday afternoon, we encountered a fatal auto accident at the entrance to our own community. A two-year-old girl, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? A two-year-old girl was killed by a broken neck from the airbag in the front passenger seat where her mother's mother was holding her. Paul saw the body covered by a white sheet lying on the ground. Paul is their little boy. Anybody know about how old Paul is? I would think about five. Yeah. So Paul saw the baby, the child, covered by a white sheet lying on the ground, and heard in talk with the state trooper. Paul heard that the little girl had been killed. He cried for some time afterward, and we assured him that she was in heaven. The whole weekend he asked deep questions concerning what had happened to the child. Interestingly enough, that afternoon, Ian and I had both committed to each other that we were thinking about death and how at times it seems so unfair the way people die and so random, but trusting him was assured that we dealt a little bit with that Sunday, if you recall, and I told you the lady had emailed me who's dealing in the hospital and sees people dying every day. While we have never before sent a service message and so many... Okay, closing. While we never before had such a simple but powerful message, and so many doors of opportunity opening up to us, this is our greatest time of need to continue to trust Him. May our faith not fail, because we are confident that our Lord will not fail to be faithful to us. We are so blessed, even in the various ways that we are tested. Thank you so much for teaching us this truth. That's from Ian and Carol. So those are some of the things that are going on in as far as what happened in Amsterdam. Any questions? Okay, well, that gives you some things to be in prayer about in that respect, and we'll deal with it. I will say this, And we're going to have to be making our decision rather quickly of what to do with them. But I'd like you to be thinking about the thing in Champaign, Illinois, because right now that's one that, you know, if they call this week and say you got a booth, if you want it, what we're looking at is the cost. One, publication. We will have to have everything we publish, which, by the way, we have to anyway. But the thing is, most of the publication would be going just for that one at that point. Whether it's 20,000, that's double the number at Amsterdam. Now, they're getting it all there and all that. But, so we got that cost. There'll be the cost of room and board. There'll be the cost of travel. So I'd like you to be in prayer, be thinking about it, thinking about whatever questions you might have. As far as I'm concerned, I have no family, and it's no problem to me to be there between Christmas and New Year. I'll be back here New Year's Eve. I would not miss that at all. But so if you're thinking, well, would I want to go? Yeah, I'd have no problem going. Ian and Carol have families and stuff like that, but I'd have no problem because the opportunity is great. I met some people, worked with young people in Amsterdam, and they were just challenging to talk with. I really enjoyed talking with them a lot. I remember one specifically from Minnesota, and he was one of those that we actually sat down and went through the Bible and spent some good valuable time. So what I'm asking you to be in prayer and thinking about is get ready, because I'm going to come back and say, hey, do we want to do this now? We'll go ahead and do the printing. Now it comes down to, we want to do the printing for that. And then we'll have to do the printing again for ourselves and for general outlet. So, we'll just have to see.
If we do it, we need to print them all at once.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And, we have $25,000 in publication fund, but we also have coming up the Book on Galatians, and I working on a basic book. And so God's given us a lot of good opportunities. And, you know, there's so much out on the Book of Revelation that I don't know what I want to do, but I'm getting more and more excited. I'll just tell you right up front, and when several of y'all wanted Revelation, I just, oh, no, I don't want to do this. But I've been yesterday, and I've just been spending a lot of time, and it's powerful. It comes with a blessing. And I'm going to press that on you, because what Revelation generally turns out to be, and I'm talking about even among friends in the Bible church movement, it comes to vision. Oh, I know what that means. And boom. Yeah, I know what it means. Boom. I know what it means. Boom. And these are all wonderful pastors and people. And rather than being a blessing, because I've got to set up who this is and who that is and when this is going to happen and when that's going to happen, and boy, it's going to happen, and I can almost give you the day. There's a lot of that going on today, of when the rapture is going to occur, when Christ is going to come, and all this stuff, and they've figured it all out, and they've got different ways of figuring it out, and it's come to vision. And I'm just going to be encouraging you from day one, meaning right now, don't let this become a division from you with each other here or with other people. If you run into somebody and we're studying it, oh, well, I know when that's going to happen, just use spiritual love. Okay, fine. Okay, you got it all tied down, you know. February the 28th, you know, 2006, great, you know. I'm not going to go run up my credit card banking on what you're saying. And, because, you know, if it doesn't happen, boy, I'm going to be really hung out to dry. But I think that's wonderful. But isn't it great that? And get back to what is the truth that we do know about and can be in agreement. But the Book of Revelation, written for a blessing in chapter 1, has been a great source of division among Christians. And that's a shame. I remember one of the pastors, who these people are, doesn't even matter. But I know in the 80s, boy, he wrote this letter to my former pastor, me, and about 50 pastors in the Bible church movement. And it was a personal letter. Up on the top, he said, "Prove me wrong." And he had the dates all down from Revelation when everything was going to happen. And it proved me how arrogant. Like all pastors have time to do is go sit and study the Bible so they can prove him wrong or right or anything else. People, I'm just going to, you're going to hear from me a lot, but please don't get involved in all that when we do Revelation. Let it be a blessing. Let it be something powerful. Let it be of you. Boy, I could have fellowship. I don't care if you think today, as long as we agree on the certain truths that are involved. It's like the crucifixion and resurrection. I don't care if somebody believes it. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't care. Do you believe he was crucified for the sins of the world, buried, and rose again for our salvation on the third day? Do you believe that? And that, when I said even third day, because even the way you calculate that he rose, whatever day, that he rose. Yeah, okay then. We can call it that. I mean, this stuff of using computers to figure out the day when Christ, do you think then that means it's a dogma in the Bible if we have to use computers? And however you put in your information, you realize now that these great computer people can show you that it was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and they all can do it with their computer dating. So, it just, you know, the computer's going to spit out what you put in. You feed it the information. So, don't let it be a division. It's not a division. It's something that pulls together.
You better hope it's not a division.
We can't afford too much division here. That was good. So we got a lot of things that God can be doing, and which means what I'm saying is that we want to be sure that we let His Spirit and be prudent and be led in Spirit in the use of our money and what can be done. We're here to get the word out, get this truth out. And 20,000 college kids to me is impressive. That is impressive. So we'll be in prayer about that, Kenya, all of these things. So let's be in prayer and together tonight. Don't forget all the personal prayer requests that we had. Some of you came in a little late. Is there anything y'all want to add in prayer? We went through the various people we have named in our listing of prayer and people who need prayer. Ian and Carol, I ask specifically for your prayers. They become in. Oftentimes, we become discouraged people. I don't know if you are aware of all the circumstances. Ian cannot work. If he works, then they will immediately send him back to Australia because he's on a visa here in America. He is married, and the way it's all set up, he cannot go get any kind of a job, because the moment that they find out, and there are people that look, I didn't know that, there are little police that go around and look for this stuff, and if he gets a job in Conway, and they find out, no questions asked, he's gone. So he's in that circumstance, and it becomes a little discouraging. And oftentimes, Ian and I just will talk and as friends talk, not talking about any of these things. So please be in prayer for Ian and Carol and their family, because it does become a little discouraging at times. And that's what we do. We encourage one another. I think oftentimes we forget, even with our friends and each other. We like to focus on sin and failures and weakness rather than focus on encouraging and sharing and serving one another in love, Galatians 5. So, be in prayer for each other. By the way, I'm going to go to Hot Springs. I've been putting it off and have not gone in several times now. And there's enough of them that I just put it in a way that was said to me, they're really begging. And Jean Poulter, the lady, not if you know, she thinks it's going to be the largest crowd we've ever had because she's never had so many people to see coming. They're having various trouble at some of the churches there and teaching, and people that may have just, she said she's heard from people that just came maybe one time when I'd be up there, and they called. Because one lady, she said, called, she said, "Does that guy that was at your house ever come back anymore?" And yeah, as a matter of fact, I said, "Oh, I'm coming." I still remember things that he taught. So be in prayer about it. I don't know what's going on there. a small group from Conway is going to come down, and they want to know if I know of any pastor who teaches the Stiff Truth, looking for a small group of pastors there. And right now, I really don't. Right offhand, James came to mind. Well, I'll just sit James up there and let him minister to him a while. But so we need to be in prayer. They really appreciate what the case we send out here. They appreciate you and providing for it. I got a little bit into it Sunday. Just very thankful y'all are here. Very thankful you support it financially, that we can get these things done. For a small group, God is doing some really wonderful things, and you can hear some of the things that people say. And there are people like in Conway that they're just so thankful for what we've got and what we're doing. And okay, let's talk enough here. Let's go. Yes.
When are you going back
and forth? I'm going this Thursday and Friday, and I'll be back for Sunday. I'll come back Saturday, and but I'll leave Thursday late morning, and come back Saturday. And we teach, we'll have studies Thursday and Friday night, and it looks like we might have one Friday, but I don't want to get into that because I don't know. But it looks like we might have one Friday, and I hope so. And maximize the time when I go to these things. So be in prayer about the travel and the people and all that will be there for that. Okay, anything else you thought about? Okay, people, let's join the throne of grace together. We come to agreement on what we pray. Two or more come to agreement. There I am in the midst. We come to agreement. So let's pray. If you're so led to pray aloud, please feel free to do so. If not, then certainly in private, and let's pray together. Okay, let's pray. And come to a clear and clear reality, what kind of God you are. That we can come to you, Heavenly Father, with our prayer requests and lay them before you. We pray, Father, that as you consider each of the prayers and each of the opportunities and things that we have laid before you tonight, that, Father, that our attitude will be that of our Savior's, thy will be done, and that the Spirit will guide us in what you would have us to do individually and corporately as an assembly of believers. We have, Heavenly Father, individual needs, corporate needs, as a church, a body of believers. Father, we want to fulfill the purpose while we are here on this earth at this time in this assembly. These things are no accident. We pray, Father, that you will take the truth, the gospel for the Christian. That you, Heavenly Father, will allow us to reach the ear that will hear, the eye that will see the truth of what's going on in Scripture. Protect us, Heavenly Father, from our adversaries, both supernatural and human, that would seek to silence the gospel, that, Heavenly Father, we might be able to present these truths as you would have us to do. And now, Father, we pray as we open up the Scriptures to Hosea, that your Spirit will again give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Father, what's going on in this powerful section of the Bible? But we're getting a glimpse of what really is going on in regard to your holiness as it relates to your love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Hosea chapter 11. That's a few minutes of work here, and then we'll just pick this up right where we leave off tomorrow night. I would like to get this done, but I've really appreciated the places that Hosea 11 has taken me. I've been talking with a friend of mine in Revelation and couldn't help but get over into Hosea 11 a little bit and share with some of the things that you and I are beginning to see in Hosea. And what God may be doing all the way through Scripture, not just in the book of Hosea. But we might be getting a secret, like we are, as far as I'm concerned, of the entire picture of what God is doing. Now we are in verse 8, and we are at the end of the verse. Now, up through this point, we've had a lot of declarations by God of what God is going to do. He's going to destroy Ephraim. He's going to destroy Judah. And indeed, they deserve it. They have played the harlot with God. They have gone into idolatry. They have turned from Him. People, they deserve destruction. If you look at it from just strict righteousness and justice of God, He, God, is justified in the declarations, if you want to look at it from that perspective of the law and of holiness. They're justified. But let's see what God's going to do. How? We've got that how again, and I love it here, and I love our studies that we've done with the how, and how long, and when. How? Here's God saying it, though, not man. We saw in Habakkuk, how Habakkuk cried out, how long, and why. Habakkuk is a great book to study. But here he says, how, this is God saying it now, not man. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you? Just again, I emphasize the word how, the four verbs, give up, surrender, make, and treat, how important they are, and the picture of the cross you see there. Now, we hit our point. My heart is turned over within me, and we have dealt with that now. His heart has overturned the wrath is what's going on, if you recall that study. And then we dealt with the second phrase. This is where we had to leave off last time. The second phrase, all my compassions are kindled. Okay, and we spent time here, so we're not going to spend a great deal of time, but where we were dealing with repenting. The King James, if you remember the New American Standard that you have here, all my compassions are kindled. NIV, all my compassion is aroused. And the Thundering King James, my repenting. See how they translated compassion? My repentings are kindled together. So all these things, and the word was maham, you recall, the Hebrew word. And we had left off dealing with and looking at repenting. Now we know about man's repentance. We know that there is no power in repenting. A lot of people get all hung up in repenting. I won't go into that because this isn't man. This is God. But we always come to this concept of repenting, and there are people saying, well, if you really repented, you wouldn't do it again. I beg to remind you that the word repent, English, Greek, Hebrew, and probably many other languages, but I know those three by studying them, all deal with the past, not the future. There is nothing in those words, by those words I mean in that word, in Greek, English, or Hebrew, people, that deals with the future. That's basic. If we're going to be a Bible church and deal with words, there's nothing in it, and even in the English word. It has to do with the past. People get this idea, if you repent, you won't do it again. There's nothing of that in the word. That's why Christ told us when we studied it, God comes to you and repents seven times in one day. How do you get to the point where if you really repented, you wouldn't be doing it again? Show me that in the Word. It has nothing to do with the future. It has to do, the Word and the action has to do with what has been done. Repent of the past. Then what else did we see? Repenting. They have this idea that if you really repented, you wouldn't do it again. People, there's no power in repenting. There's no power in repenting. It doesn't, because a person repents doesn't give them the power not to do something again. We're talking power. Inner power. Who gives us the power not to do it again? The Holy Spirit. That's who gives us the power. Not repenting. If we want to add, if we want to make it something man does, faith gives us the power. Now, faith doesn't, but That's how we acquire it. Not by, if I repent, I'm going to have the power not to do this again. No. We walk by faith in the Spirit. The Spirit controls us. Now we can have that power not to do it again. So, repentance has no power. Then what else did we see? Nowhere in Scripture are we told to judge someone's repentance. Somebody comes and says they repent. People, that's it. That's hard. That's easy to say, hard to do. And many won't. But if we look at Scripture, nowhere are we told to judge someone's repentance. Well, I don't think your repentance is genuine. Who made you God? Well, you don't have to be God to know if somebody repents and keeps doing it that they're repenting is not genuine. Ta-da! That's not what repentance means. And they may truly repent of what they just did. And they're going to go do it again. But they truly, and what the word means, they truly repented. They truly, it wasn't a cop. It wasn't a con. They truly repented of what has happened. That has nothing to do about them not doing it again. Don't be somebody's judge. Don't be someone's judge. We're not told to be judge. But now we're dealing with God. And what we had to leave off was, we looked at some scriptures, and we won't take time tonight. God is a God who does not repent our word. And then what did we say with that? We looked at passages, God repented. Right here is one of them. Wait a minute. God is a God who cannot lie, does not change his mind, does repent. I repent. And we looked at passages. So we're in the midst of taking some points on what all of that means, if you will recall, what we were doing in point one in the LXX, the Septuagint, the Old Testament, this one Greek word, the Hebrew word, racham, and the Greek word that is used for that is the word metanoeo, or repent. Point two, the root occurs in ancient Ugaritic with the idea of to console. Point three, the root is found in proper names of authors of Scripture, and we looked at Nehemiah, we looked at Nahum, so we dealt with that. Now, point four, we went to 1 Samuel 15:29, and then we looked at verse 29, and the glory of Israel, God will not lie or change his mind, for he is not man, that he should change his mind. That's what man does. Man changes his mind. Women aren't fickle. All of us are fickle. All of us. We get this idea, well, changing the mind is a prerogative of the woman. That's prerogative, not even a prerogative, but that's the habit of humanity. That's what man does. Then we looked at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 15, and spent some time there. Now let's look at Jeremiah 26. We didn't get to this one. Jeremiah 26. So if you'll open the scriptures with me, and we'll just continue right where we left off there. Jeremiah chapter 26. And just about the time I really get on a roll, it'll be time to stop tonight, because we just spent some time in prayer, which is well worth it, and no problem there. All right, Jeremiah 26. And what I would like us to do is look at verse 19. Jeremiah 26, and we'll look at verse 19. Verse 19, did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat favor of the Lord, grace of the Lord? And the Lord changed his mind. And we just saw verses where God does not change his mind. And God changed his mind. That's our word repent. What's repent? Change your mind about what you did. People, if you understand the word repent, change your mind about what you did. It has nothing to do with change your mind about what you're going to do. The word is metanoeo. It's not pronoeo. If it dealt with the future, it would look like this, transliterating. P-R-O, pronoeo. This is an R. Pronoeo. This is to think before. So this means to think before. This is what parents do with their children. Think before you do this. Think before you do that. We train them to do that or try to. Think before you do it. That's pro. Uh-oh. Our word is meta noeo. Meta noeo. Afterthought. Changed my mind. I did it and I look back and go, boy, I changed my mind. I wish I hadn't done that, and I repent of that with regret. Doesn't say I won't do it again. Pro noeo would be, okay, I think before, changed my mind. You know, I don't know what it'd be, but I'm getting ready to go rob a 7-Eleven. I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that. That's pro noeo. I think about it. I change my mind. I'm not going to do that. And that's a good thing. You know, you say, okay, I'm going to go do this sin. Whatever it may be. Moral sin, criminal sin, law sin, whatever it may be. Revenge sin, I'm going to get even, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you think before, whoa, that's going to be nothing. That's pro noeo. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to travel that road. I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to get involved in this. That's pro noeo. Now, that will affect our future, won't it? That will or should affect our future. But not pro noeo. I mean, not meta noeo. The deed's already been done. So let's say if we're going to be a Bible church with words. Okay. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and increase the favor and grace of God? And the Lord changed his mind, that's our word, about the misfortune which he had pronounced against them. People, get it in your mind. God's already pronounced it. I am going to do this to you. Now, if God says something, that's it, right? Right. Wrong. God changes his mind. Very clear. Look at it. How are you going to deal with this? He changed his mind. That's our word. The word we're dealing with. Racham. Changed his mind. What about the misfortune, that's judgment from his righteousness, which he's already pronounced against them. This isn't God sitting up there thinking, well, what should we do, members of the Godhead? You know, should we squash them? Should we make them suffer for a couple of days? Should we send a load of locusts there? Should we do this or that? And talk about it? No, let's just don't do any of that. Okay, scratch all of that. It's not a conference. This is a judgment. I'm a holy, righteous God. This is a judgment. You read it? That's it. No escape from that. I repent and change my mind. You can't do that, God. You can't do that, God. It's what Satan says. It's what law does. It's what religious people do, Christians. You can't do that, God. You've already made sin. You've already pronounced judgment. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Just like Satan says. You've got to do it. But we are committing a great evil against ourselves, is the remainder of that passage. So, most prophecies of divine judgment from the holiness of God is righteousness and justice. And justice. God changes his mind, people. Most prophecy, and put this down, most prophecy of divine judgment in Scripture from the holiness of God, God changes his mind and delivers it to his son. I am going to get you. I am going to pound you. I am going to do this. I am going to destroy. I am going to kill. I am going to do all of this. Does he do it? Yeah. He takes all of that and puts it on his son. That's the greatness of Christ, dear people. It belongs to us. That's what we're supposed to see in the Bible. Don't get mad when God doesn't come across and destroy over here and do all these things that he said he would do. That's the greatness of Christ. He took all these judgments of God and put on us. So the eye that has to see that, that's what the cross is about. And it is powerful. That brings us to point five. Brings us now to point five. That finishes up that. So now let's go to point five. While we repent of sin, while we repent of not trusting the Holy Spirit, when God repents, when God changes his mind, when God overturns his righteous judgments, What is God doing? What is God doing? Okay. I hope you follow here. I hope you follow, and I do want to say this. If this needs more conversation, let me know. Because I thought about spending a long time here and give you a lot of points. I just want to see if we can talk this around and see how this flows with you. I used to teach, this was an anthropopathism. This is what most people teach. Now, what is an anthropopathism? An anthropopathism, anthro comes from man. What's man? The root of man. Okay, what we have here is that God is doing something or putting something in terms that you and I can understand. God isn't doing this. But this is stated, this is the way these verses are handled. I could bring you top scholars. I'm talking about some really fine scholars in the languages. They see a theological problem. God cannot lie. God does not repent. The Bible says so. God repents. The Bible says so. Well, let me explain what's happening. To help you on that, it's an anthropopathism. God really doesn't repent. But what you have in these verses is, God does this so that you and I can understand something from the human standpoint and accept that and move on. And that satisfied me for a long time. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's going on. What we see going on, people, I'll do this carefully, cleanly for you, and then if you want to, if it doesn't work for you, let's talk about it. Don't walk out of here, I don't know, I don't understand. Now, if you don't agree, if you understand what I'm saying and don't agree, I have no problem with that. That's between you and God. But if you don't understand, now that's my responsibility as communicator. Okay. What we have is that God says, I am going to do this. I am judgment. Okay, where does that come from? I'm going to just demonstrate my wrath, because that's what we're talking about, judgment. Okay, this comes from God's holiness. God is a holy God. His perfect righteousness and justice. Okay. Now, God, unlike us, because in these verses, and I just read you one where not like man, he changes his mind. You and I do it. We change our mind. Just change our mind. Okay, I'm not going to do that. For whatever reason, I don't want to do that. Okay. God is a holy God. He has made that. Right. Let me ask you a question. Right, not yet. Let's take it up. I am not going to do that. This comes from his love. Now, what compassion? Everything comes in. The love kindles. The love does that. Okay. God does not lie. Okay. God does not lie. God cannot change his mind. God cannot repent. He is a God who does not repent. Let's talk about that a moment. Does God administer his wrath? Well, he doesn't change his mind. If you look at it with me this way, he doesn't change his holiness. Let's change the word mind. Let's change it to holiness so we can see what's going on. He does not change his holiness. This is immutable. He cannot change holiness. He cannot change that. Even if he wanted to, he can't change it. We can. We're as fickle as the wind. We are fickle. We can change anything we want. Yeah. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, get out of here, Oh, please don't come back, I didn't mean a word of it. You know, that's the way we are. That's the way we are. Thank God. He administers this. He cannot lie, he does not repent. He ministers this. Okay. Now, I will not do it. This is what his love comes in. And God is love. God is love. This is what God is holiness, but we have declaration, God is love. Now, so I'm not going to do this. Did he change his mind here? No. But what did his love do? His love said, no, I'm going to take my holiness and administer that to his son. This is what the whole gospel is about. For those who need the cross, those who need this taken care of, all of this taken care of, you see it all done right here if we understand in truth what's going on. But for those who just understand and look straight at God, God is love. He's never going to do this. He's not going to do that. But His holiness lets us know of His great love. If I understand the holiness of God, boy, look what it does for my understanding of His love. If I understand, boy, yeah, wow, look what you got to do, you're holy. Look what you didn't do it. If you grasp this understanding of love, people, that's why in 2 Corinthians, Paul says what? I am consumed by this love. I am compelled by this love. People read that and they have not grasped the depth of what's going on. If we can look at God's holiness and all, then it just takes, if we look that God is holy and we look what His love did, we are slam dunked, not by the wrath of God, but by His love. I'm just overwhelmed by this kind of love. Because, yeah, all of this is unrighteous and is against God and all. But look what His love does. His love treats me so differently. His love treats me in a way I do not earn or deserve. His love says, come to me. Be reconciled to me. This is what God has done. For He does not change His mind? Right. He does change His mind? Yes. That's how this goes. I don't need to come up and give you 10 points on an anthropopathism, some 50-cent word, to try to appease you so you can walk out of here, okay, God really doesn't do it. The Bible says He did, but it doesn't, and da 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 da. Or have you confused with the whole thing? Verse says He did, verse says He doesn't. I don't understand how all that can be. It becomes very clear when we see these are not in conflict. I'm going to show you more on that tomorrow. These are not in conflict. They're working together for the totalness of what God is. These are working together so that God can demonstrate His love. This is what God really is. God is His love. Sometimes we need to look at a passage in Job and make a statement that is so astounding. Do you think your sins really bother me? I'm God. What does God mean by that? What's God saying? People, we have to get God out of our little box and control where we control Him and get God up here where He and what He is, and we stand back in amazement and in awe of Him. I want you in awe of God, not in fear of God, in the wrong sense, but fear in the sense of awe. What a God who doesn't change His mind, who does change His mind. Doesn't change His mind because His mind is holiness. The declarations of holiness, taken out here, does change His mind because God is love. That's what kind of God He is. That's what kind of God we have. God of love. It's the epitome of God. Heavenly Father, we spent some wonderful time praying together, coming to Your throne in prayer, and we just got to spend a few minutes in looking at Scripture. But what a powerful few minutes that You've given to us to get a glimpse of another dimension of who and what You are. You do not change Your mind. You do change Your mind. You do not change Your mind. You're a holy, righteous God. You do change Your mind. You're a God of love. And these are not in contradiction. These do not give us a disturbed God, a wishy-washy God. This does not give us uncertainty in our own selves and understanding You. This glorifies all that You are. You call into being what is not. You do what cannot be done. You do not change your mind, you do change your mind. That can't be done in our thinking. Now, man's logic, you can't do that. Either you do change or you don't change. You bring into being what is not. You do what is impossible. You do not change your mind, you do change. And what we get a glimpse of, Heavenly Father, is what kind of God you are. Father, we bow before you. And at the same time, we stand singing your praises. What an awesome God. That you can do these things. And what it solicits from us, what it draws out of our soul, Heavenly Father. Once we observe and begin to grasp this, that we want to respond in the love of your Spirit. We want to serve with God. We want to be your ambassador. Tell others, Heavenly Father, what kind of God you are. Thank you for these few moments tonight, Father, and the work of your Spirit, which I'm so thankful for. Amen.